So hello everyone, welcome to third episode of Talking Observability. Today we have with us Wusheng. Wusheng, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi everyone, I'm Wusheng. I'm from Tetrate, the founding engineer. So basically we are working on the source mesh observability. I create an open source project named Apache Skywalking. It covers traditional agent-based observability to the service mesh observability. And currently I'm also working on the open source and I'm a board director of the Apache Software Foundation. So basically I'm covering different fields, including all of the open source culture, community development, and also technical parts like the gateway, the mesh, ingress, observability. That's basically my day job.
That's great. Like I'm hoping we will get a lot of interesting insights from you. So first question for you, I see that like you have been working around service mesh observability for quite some time, and I know service mesh can help in service discovery and resilience, but how does it really help in observability?
Yeah, so service mesh is actually a very tricky technology. Before that, we used VM, we used the Kubernetes network to route in the traffic. So with the service mesh, we have a proxy between client side and server side to control all of the traffic. And more importantly, that proxy could understand the level 7 application protocols, network protocols. So we can have insights the first time, no need to any further analyze to get all of the HTTP, HTTP2, or even TCP or some native like MySQL protocol, MongoDB protocol, and to get all of the details of all of the network traffics. And also this won't be treated at TCP level. And also we can understand how they talk to each other with parameter, with all of the identification. So the thing is, from the observability, we have a different angle. We used to have some observability or monitoring system from the network perspective, but that thing is very low and we are focusing on the TCP latency and how much time do you take to shake hands with clients and server side. But all of these things cannot be very easy to rise at the level 7. And the service mesh made that easier. And importantly, it's reuse all of the technology to route in the traffic. So you won't face many actual resource costs, no actual latency. And with all of that, you are gathering things. We could say the service mesh bring you more observability, but you doesn't need to pay much.
Okay.
The cost is very limited.
Cool.
Yeah, and the other thing is in the old time, you always need agents in the application.
Yes.
And any agent, no matter how code you wrote, how good of that, how robust you already running tests, there are also always a risk because you inject new codes into target application. And that things always take a potential risk like out of memory or actual payload to your application or more threats, that all of those things could happen. But when the mesh focuses on the network, all of that things will not happen.
Yep. That's cool. So as you're talking about agents and data collection anyways, so I feel that is a very interesting aspect around this service mesh, right? So how does the telemetry data collection works within service meshes or around service mesh itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like all of the observability solution, there are different ideas and different design for different people. Yeah, so like if we are reading at the Istio, let's take Istio as a good example of source mesh. there are some kind of official solution, like the still telemetry used to be V1 and have performance issue, and now there is telemetry V2 have better performance. So the basically is the Envoy have under the command of the Istio system, and they do the aggregation. Something like how many traffic, how many TCP, how many connection made, how many traffic, what is the latency. So they did some kind of aggregation in the Envoy side, and they report through the some kind of Bromsuse or open sensors exporter to give a third party system, and you have some kind of metric out of box. This is one kind of things people usually use because it's easier, but the side effect of that is you are putting more loads and Envoy. But even Envoy is very efficiency, but it still costs a lot, because comparing, yes, you only put one core or two cores of CPU on the Envoy only, because you need to deploy many, many Envoy on the sidecar. So any actual resource cost is really very expensive. And the other thing is we at the trade, we are open source that like 2 years ago, we open source at KubeCon China. And we tell the world that you don't need to have to give all of this payload to the Envoy. You can ship the Envoy logs. Like we used to have some kind of vendors like Splunk to fetch all the metrics from applications log. And this time we are do that in a more cloud native way, because Envoy have a log system called access log service. It's not a log right into the file, traditional file system, because in the cloud native system, file system is not that reliable. File system, yes, basically is a network. So we are changing that to the AOS. It's through the, all of the logs will go into the access log service. It's basically a gRPC service. And we at the backend, no matter in the open source Skywalking or the trade TSP product, we can analyze all of these traffics to get all of the metadata information, like which service called the other, whether it's TLS, whether there is an internal error of the Envoy or upstream error or circuit break. All of that things will be showing up in all of the traffics. In that case, you can analyze all of these logs and get all of the metadata information to generate topology, to generate the metrics, all of the security issue, and take action based on all of the metrics you already get. And the good thing is you ship all of the logs out of the Envoy, out of the mesh system. So you have the, you can scaling a backend cluster. Let's say we have a Skywalking cluster, you can scale them out and you can take care of all of the necessary data as you like. And also the better thing is you even can persistent some kinds of typical error logs if you want to see some access really going on, rather than grab all of the dead logs from targets. File system, that is not really not cool if you are using the product environment. And this kind of data collection is very interesting. And on the other hand, you may need some kind of not such heavy metrics, such as you want the metrics from the Istio itself, like the control panel. This doesn't suffer from the heavy traffic. And if you are doing that, you can use some more traditional like the Prometheus solution, because Skywalking could fetch all of the data from the Prometheus, and with all that endpoint explosion, and we can use that data and we can analyze and get control panel metrics too. And that's the thing, that's the open source and commercial version could do. So, and the other thing is when we do at the commercial version, we add some more interested and but more large scale solution about before, because you are deploying mesh in different Kubernetes. You can have the duplicate service version on different data center region, even different countries. So basically you may need some higher level aggregation That is another thing Mesh could do in a consistent way, because you have a very unified network. So you can aggregate service from global and get consistent metrics, and you can visualize all of that things.
Cool. So I see there are a lot of hacks and there are so many ways to do it. And it's very, I don't understand the whole thing, but it seems very interesting. And yes, I guess like this will be very helpful for many people who are just getting started with service meshes and want to use observability around it and do the data collection for telemetry, right? Cool.
Yeah.
And I have read that you can build some interesting use cases on top of observability data, which is coming from service mesh, like maybe security, maybe traffic control. And what are some of those use cases you are working on, or you have worked on, you tried them out, or what is your take on the whole situation around those interesting use cases?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the use cases, service mesh provides a lot for the different users. At the first beginning, the service mesh always adopted because of the traffic routing, because you want to control how the things works. And from the observability perspective, you need to visualize all of that traffic.
Yes.
Because actually people set something on the Istio, but they didn't know whether it works or not. How you visualize all of this traffic, or whether it still works or not. Because we, in the real case, we have witnessed a lot of fail case about Envoy sync the XDS from the Istio. The XDS push may fail. Maybe some kind of network issue, CA issue, a lot of them. So you need to know when the XDS push happens, whether it's successful or not, and which Envoy takes which XDS version to running, and as a result, what's the metrics will look like. And I think that's the step one, because you need to make sure all of the things works like your config. You didn't want some unexpected routing information. And the other thing for all of the company have interested in security. And because we are all focusing on the zero trust architecture theory, and we want to make that happen. And in the old time for a company's traditional application, if you want to even just set MTLS to all application, it will be very hard. It will be hard to apply all of them. But with Mesh's help, it's become unified, and you can use one tech stack to make all of the systems protected, and with managing MTLS traffic. So this kind of things is also being from the interest use case of the mesh, and at the same time, every interested vision or case of the mesh became a fusion requirement of the observability, because you want to know whether MTLS works or not, whether there is a CA identification fail, where it fails, and how often it happens, whether all of that things updated or not. Because in observability, we use to focus on the log, trace, metric, all of that three typical things. And if we are running into the mesh case, we will notice that the events became a very important concept we have to adopt, we have to visualize, we have to identify. Because in the old days, it seems like all of the metrics seems like explainable. We can know why it goes in this way. But in mesh, there were many variables and triggered by the mesh control panel. And all of these things, people are really hard to understand. And these kind of events, having more examples than menu change, because such as when you have observability, have a mesh, the instance in your mind you want to the automatically scanning out the HPA. So in that case, you want to know whether these new ports are get started, because some ports are failing and Kubernetes just popping up, or because you are triggering some scaling mechanism. And the more importantly, once the scaling mechanism works, like new ports already starting up and standing by, have new traffic in, whether this works or not. Because basically you want to know the latency has already going down and you can support really more end users rather than you just have more ports, but actually it doesn't help. Because at that moment, you need operation team to involve in to do some manual works to invest what is going on. So these kind of cases are very typical and you need to take care of. And all of that things about control is like the similar things, because some people are use mesh to do some kind of upgrade mechanism. No matter what module you are using to upgrade, you need to set up versions and to control the traffic and move the traffic from old version to new version step by step. So that basically generally are controlled by the mesh and need to be visualized. And the operation team need to confirm all of the metrics go smoothly when you're routing all of the traffic into the new version. Even something goes wrong, they need to ship all of the traffic back and the rolling back all of the upgrades. So these kinds of observability are like a babysitter, like you are escalating all of the steps, no matter mesh what they are doing, they need a observability solution to stand by. Because every step you are involved in, you have a chance to make a mistake. You have a chance the infrastructure is not working, the Kubernetes is not working, the VM is not working. So every tech stack, when we build all of the cloud native tech stacks one by one, from the front ports, from all of the Docker image to the Kubernetes, now to the mesh, even one day we can move to the serverless. All of the things just increase the capability of the observability. And rather than we are reducing that for the developer, but for the operator team, that's all of the things will be things like a monster in these days. Mm. Because in the old day, we can take care of, we can interact with the operation system directly. And right now we nearly can't see anything. So we need that kind of solution to visualize, to interact with all of these cloud native infrastructure. Because even I ask a lot of customers, they even didn't know what is the structure of all of this kind of system from top to the bottom. Yeah, they even can't understand what are you doing? What's all of the system, how they are working, how they are connecting with each other. Even from the Kubernetes DNS system, it's a complex story, no matter with mesh or without, how to make that Kubernetes network works, that makes a lot of people confused. And people have no time to invest whether there is infrastructure issues. So basically, Kubernetes, cloud native, they move the complexity from the developer team to the operation team.
Yep. So abstraction is a very important challenge which we are not addressing, or which we are not even looking at considering. Abstraction is important. Abstraction is good kind of thing. Is where you are trying to go, right? And so anyways, we are on challenges. So do you observe any other challenges around the service mesh observability space, other than what we have just discussed? Anything which you feel are important and we should highlight?
Yeah, for the mesh observability, you need to focus on, I think, at least two things. One thing is you are not doing things in one Kubernetes cluster. Because every time when we talk about ingress, egress, across cluster, across region, across data center, there will always be challenges. Because in the old day, most of the deployments are inside the data center. And all of that things should be more controllable, such as the IP address and how to deployment, all of that things seems more controllable. But even today, that the things are getting complex even more. And with that, the observability systems deployment model is became a challenge. Because in the old day, you have a centralized observability system. So you can aggregate, you can load in all of the data into that center to get all of the analyze, such as we have a lot of streaming or big data system to analyze all of the things. But since all of the things are crossing the Kubernetes, are crossing the data center, the network may not enough to support you. You ship all of the traffic across. Then how you analyze all of this? Clearly these things have connected. They could have issue. So they could be upstream, downstream. They could be the duplication, a copy of the other service, a backup service. So you need to understand how to aggregate all of this kind of data. And the other thing is what mesh brings you, because it stands at a network proxy perspective. So from basically you are seeing all of the things are based on a network concept. Like you want to build a service to service topology map, but actually when you look at the access log, you are seeing one IP address access the other IP address. There is no service name. There is no metadata in there. You need to make some solutions, how to revert all of this IP address to a concept that the user could understand, or the deployment people, the operation team could understand. And so basically we have provided the public open source user, even for the commercial user, we have two solutions. One is simple and easier to understand is once you have the IP address, you could ask Kubernetes API server to get all that meta info information. Because once you have ports, you have all of that information. But these things will fail when you are at the edge of the Kubernetes, because you are accessing internet IP address or some VPC's exposed gateways IP address. All of that things means nothing for you inside of this cluster. And because of that, we are working with the Istio upstream. We have a thing called metadata exchange. So that kind of technology actually inspired from the tracing technology. So from the tracing, you need to know who is the client, who is the server. So we package some metadata information into your network traffic and propagate from client side to server side. So metadata exchange, you can say this is a very similar solution. We package all of that things because we hijacked all of the network traffic and ship to the front to the server side. Then you can know from the client side, you know who is the server side, and same time, server side already know who sent this data package, rather than we guessing from the IP address. And that seems based on because all of the across edge communication. Usually either HTTP or HTTP2. You are nearly impossible to use some very low level TCP or some public protocol to go that kind of traffic. So for this kind of things is you are doing trade-off. When you're doing the traffic analyze inside the Kubernetes, you can have all of this IP mapping mechanism to get all of the metadata information without manipulate the network traffic. But at the edge, when you need to do a cross cluster, you can do this advanced fusion and still you are safe. And at the Skywalking solution, you can active both of these when you need them. You can choose, but the backends could be based on the data. If you have the metadata in the LS log, we will do that. If not, we will be failing back to the IP analyze. And then you can still have a global visualization no matter which solution you are using. So this kind of mechanism are based on all of the challenges we recognize to about across Kubernetes. Even sometimes you need to talk to the VM nodes, the traditional service, not mesh, even not container.
Okay, that's cool. And that those are some of the things will actually impact people in a way, right? So this is very helpful to understand some challenges which people might face while migrating to service meshes or trying to use it for their different use cases. And while you're talking about people using service mesh, what will be some of the suggestions you might give to people or advice you might give to people who are getting started with service mesh and want to use service mesh observability for internal use cases?
Yeah, for the people who are involved in the service mesh, I think they need to getting started, already familiar with some kinds of Kubernetes, how the application could run in Kubernetes. Even we are facing customers and our commercial product even support you to deploy service on the VM. And we call that hybrid service mesh, half in the Kubernetes, the other on the VM. Even we support that, but we still from the easier to getting started points, people should starting with running in the Kubernetes and get the mesh under that out of box. It should be easier. And that started focusing on the ingress and HTTP traffic rather than such as database routing or cache routing like Redis or some kind of TCP low level traffic. You don't involve that much until you figure all of this out, like identification, security, traffic control, observability for the basic HTTP and HTTP 2 version. Because that kind of things are really easier to adopt on the upstream. You don't need to spend much more time on that. Also, you are not facing a hybrid protocol, because in the observability, we are talking a lot of mechanism for IP mapping, metadata exchange. You can see, especially for the metadata exchange, that focusing on the HTTP or HTTP 2, not a protocol like the TCP level or database access protocol. So you need to focus on the easy parts and then slowly to expanding to multiple cluster and trying to unify the solution. And at the end, you are going to move to the database, to the cache, to the message queue. And then the last step should be considered about whether we should adopt the VM into the solution. But to be friendly, reminding, if you are only run the open source version, don't try to get VM online. From our experience, okay, that things is really not friendly and easier to run on the product. It's easier to run, to follow up some kind of, because we wrote some kind of blocks to tell you how to run a mesh on the VM. That part is not that hard, but once you need to ship that things on the product, you will notice that there is a lot of steps are missing. And because VM are more random environment than the Kubernetes, you may face more challenges. And I suppose you don't like that kind of environment.
Yep. Cool. This will really help people who are getting started with service mesh. And I hope like people will take this advice and try to not get into hard stuff, like use the, get started easier and then build on top of it, right, as you said. Cool.
Yeah.
So thanks, Usheng, for joining us. And thanks for giving us insights around service mesh observability and giving people some of the steps they should follow to get started. And it was very insightful and helpful. And thank you all for listening, and thank you all for joining in. And we will see you all in the next episode. So Usheng, you want to say something?
Yes, and thank you all of them, all of you, to follow all of these talks about mesh. And one last thing about observability on the mesh is, in the future, you will facing all of the more observability about traffics more than HTTP and HTTP2. All of that challenges will around, no matter for the Envoy itself or the observability. So once you involve in these parts, and observability will become even harder. So be ready. And yeah, all of the cloud native technology only make observability harder, not easier.
Cool. Thank you again. Thanks a lot for joining in, Wuxing. And we will see you around, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.